This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That hurts, Bob. We're going to have a lot of tributes at our fanniversary tonight.
Are you going
to
sing?
For. No, I had a song ready, and then I'm not singing tonight. No.
I was ready to do a solo for you if you needed one.
I don't know. We could do a reprise of Malzi the Snowman if we want. I don't think anybody's in the Christmas spirit.
No.
One thing we didn't get to in our six pack. Why don't you hit one more as we get to George Michalowski? Oh, limitless wonder. Is the Pitt basketball team, were they a 9-point favorite, 7-point favorite?
9-point favorites. This is like the, this is worse, or not as worse as the Virginia game. I thought the Virginia game was the low point and then came along last night. Given what was at the line or at stake here, you can't play defense the way they played defense last night.
I mean, Capel said they fought. They were a 7-point favorite and got out-rebounded by 10. The Pete looked like there were five people there, including Carl Krauser, who's awesome. When he's
fiery even now,
yeah,
right?
I love that guy.
I do too.
This is not good, needless to say, on both fronts with Pitt. I wrote about this morning for the Post-Gazette, Bob, about how Alan Green walked into this situation. Could he fire these guys if he wanted to? I don't think he could. I think Pitt's in a financial bind. Now, how do you get out of a financial bind? Well, sometimes the boosters do it. And these two coaches are hired or signed, I should say, forever through 2030 at least. Green walked into a similar situation at Auburn. A month before he was hired there, Gus Malzahn was given a 7-year extension. Mm-hmm. Then he underachieved, and it was the same thing. It was like, is this guy just stuck with Malzahn? And I'll read you from Sports Illustrated, Bob, and I quote, influential boosters orchestrated a palace coup and ran Malzahn out of his job with the hefty buyout that came with it. I think that's the only scenario by which they move on from Narduzzi and or Capel. Agree?
Well, but it wouldn't be coming from the athletic director. Or if he wanted it, he'd have to get the guys and recruit them to do this. They have to come up with the money.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. Is it would take a palace coup driven by the boosters. And I don't think it's happening. Do you?
No, just because of the money involved and all the NIL money that is necessary to compete and what you're trying to do. You have a budget for all this stuff. The budgets have gone straight out the door. There's every year it gets worse and worse. So they're in a predicament. And you're not one of the elite teams in any of these situations, which means it's harder to get people to pay for you.
No, they've become mediocre again, unfortunately, definitely in football. And in basketball, this season's just turning into a mega disappointment. And they're going to miss the tournament for the sixth time in 7 years under Capel. Neither coach has really stoked the fan base in any kind of way, in any meaningful way, right?
No, I mean, you start – and the one common thing is we've seen complete collapses at the end of all sports seasons this year around Pittsburgh. You know, 7-0 football goes to 7-6. Pitt's now falling off at the end of basketball. We've seen it with the Penguins, the Steelers. I mean, it's a hodgepodge of nothingness.
It really is. Three more losses for our teams yesterday. Let's bring on George Michalowski from Pittsburgh Sports Now. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. So, George, that was a disaster. It looks like Pitt's, unless they win the ACC tournament, is not going to be in the NCAA tournament. So what's your understanding of the university's position, of Alan Green's position on Jeff Capel? And if, by chance, they wanted to move on, how would that even look?
Yeah, Joe, well, it's great to talk to you guys, first of all. Second, I agree with Bob. I think when you look back at Alan Green's move with Gus Malzahn, that was, he got fired in 2020. NIL came about in 2021. It's a whole new ball game in 2025 than it even was in that first year that NIL was in play. I mean, you need to save every penny that you can at this point to prepare for revenue sharing and try to get up to that $20.5 million as an athletic department, let alone the Victory Heights project. I don't think the Pitt NIL collective's donations have been overly high. So what I'm saying is I don't think that is even close to possible that they would buy out Jeff Capel this offseason. I do think that Alan Green has stepped into this position where since he's been here, he hasn't really seen much. I mean, he saw the football collapse, and now in basketball, man, unfathomable what has happened with this team. I mean, to start 12-2 with those wins, you know, early in the season over Ohio State, over West Virginia, and now you're in a position where you don't even know if they can get to 20 wins. I don't think they'll get to 20 wins. That's unfathomable. I thought this team came into the season so confidently, saying that they were going to leave no doubt that they were an NCAA tournament caliber team last year and this year, that I was confident as well in what they could do. I thought those first few games of the season, we saw their talent stacked up. I mean, they took Clemson to overtime. Like, their talent should be competing at the top of the ACC. I could go on forever, guys. It's unfathomable to me how this happened.
Well, I don't think there's many things you can do at this point with regard to coaching, so we'll leave that. But what about players? I was watching Federico the other night, and I know that you're going to see people transfer left and right. I think RMU has a guy who's been at five different places. That's just the nature of it. I'm going to ask you a general question, George, because I think this needs to be asked. When it comes to time spent recruiting, how much should be recruiting high school kids? Because if it were me, I wouldn't even bother with high school kids the way this is going. I wouldn't. Because if you're going to get a Cooper flag, it's going to be for 1 year, and you're only going to go to the Blue Bloods. The rest of it is just, you may as well just go into the portal every year and come up with your team. Is that a good way to go about business, or do you still think it's fair to go out and recruit high school kids?
I think it's the best way to go about business in this day and age. I mean, you're talking to a guy I've worked with, the Portal Report, as well. It's our company that helps college basketball coaches recruit the portal. I'm looking on my computer right now at our transfer database with guys that have already said that they're leaving, and there are college coaches staring at this right now. The portal opens on March 24th. So there are a lot of guys that have fully adopted this portal-only mindset. Rick Pitino famously said last week that he would turn down a five-star high school prospect in this day and age because you have to replace veterans. You have to win, and winning now is with 24-year-olds and 23-year-olds like Limits and I. But it's tough. I mean, you've got to build that culture. I think Pitt has built a really solid culture in part due to high school kids like Jalen Lowe, like Bub Carrington, that they brought in. And those young guys looked up to the older veterans that were in the program, Jamarius Burton, Manelli Cummings. So it's a really tough mix. I do think the split should be at least 80-20 portal versus high school. I think Pitt and other schools in the city are doing that. I think they're recruiting and focusing on the portal, planning for the portal as well as any program in the country right now. I think they all understand it. All the coaches in Pittsburgh get it, how you can win in this day and age with transfers. But I do agree with you in that getting a high school kid and waiting a few years, especially, like you said, Joe, with six missed tournaments in 7 years. You can't wait around for a high school kid to develop, and you can't take that risk.
No, and he may leave after 1 year anyway when someone else dangles a carrot in front of him, a money carrot. So I want to ask you, said something I thought was interesting, and I saw this last night, brought it up on our sports call show nightly on KDK Plus and right here on 93.7 The Fan, shameless plug. So Auburn, which is one of the, if not the best team in the country this year in basketball, average age of their players is the same as Oklahoma City Thunder, the best team in the NBA. Now, normally you don't see stuff like this, right? You don't see an NBA team with an average age that's right next to almost the same as a college team that is the best in, right? Isn't that a sign of the times to you guys?
What meaning Definitely. Do you draw
the
from
meaning
it?
I draw from it, you got to be 25 years old, it seems, to be in college these days to have a team that's going to win.
Maybe George Generally. And I should go start playing and put up some shots.
Oklahoma City is almost younger than Auburn.
And are you saying this is a good thing or a
no,
bad
I
thing?
Think it's a bad thing for college sports. I don't like the way this has gone. I've been pretty vocal about that. I think this is completely out of control, and I think in order to get it back into control, this is going to take a professional you're going to have bargaining, you're going to have agents, you're going to have to, salary cap, a floor, all of it, right? I mean, how else do you bring it back, George?
Man, collective bargaining is a must. I mean, you see these players are 20, like Chad Baker is a player on Auburn. He played at Duquesne in 2020.
Right.
He's 25 right now. So he's an extreme example. But, Bob, the Pitt tournament team in 2022-23 was also older than the Thunder at that time, the Oklahoma City Thunder. So it is a sign of the times. It's been going that way for a few years now, and I don't think it's stopping anytime soon. I mean, you look at the Vanderbilt quarterback, Diego Pavia,
yes.
who sued the NCAA, I believe, for not giving him more eligibility just because he played junior college.
Look at Leonard Hamilton's being sued because of NIL money. He's going to retire.
Isn't part of this, though, because 18-year-olds have more options for pro ball, and shouldn't they? Why should they be forced to play college?
No one's saying they should be forced to. All you got to do is play 1 year, and you can go and do what you want. But what I'm saying to you is that when you go down this road here, you're going to end up ignoring high school kids who used to be the focus of a lot of coaches.
I mean, at some point, every transfer was a high school kid who came into college.
Yeah,
you have to go from high school to college.
If you're trying to build a program, it's hard to do it this way. That's why I ignore it. I would just go straight to the portal every single –
actually,
how many people are in that portal, George?
Listen, I'd go differently if I were Pitt right now. If people like Rick Pitino are going to ignore five-star prospects and other people
– And guess what? St. John's is one of the best teams in the country. They may win a national championship.
They still have sophomores, freshmen on their team, Bob. I would go out and try to sign high school kids then. I'd go the other way, George. If people are ignoring high school kids, I'd sign the best of them.
And then 1 year later, you'd be naked.
But the only issue I bring up with that, Joe, is that these high school kids are almost, and their parents, are almost more delusional than the transfers in terms of NIL, because they see the numbers that are being thrown out there to the five stars, and they're astronomical. They're north of $500,000 for a 17-year-old.
So what's I don't understand what's delusional about it. If I can get money, I can get money, and if I want to transfer, I'll get more.
I agree with you there, but, I mean, some of the dollar amounts in the high school level are not even close to doable by the top programs in college basketball. I mean, if you're telling Jeff Capel that you want $500,000 and you're a freshman in high school, he's going to quickly turn away. I guess it's not delusional to ask for your what you feel you're valued at as a high school player. But I'm saying if Pitt wants to go to the high school route and look for elite high school talent right now, I don't think they can afford to get those kind of guys.
Okay, so you are saying then that high school players are still going to colleges, money and playing, just like transfers. So maybe it's the 3- and 4-star guys you could build around.
I agree. I mean, that's what they've tried to do, too. They've got Amari Witherspoon coming in from D.C. He's a 4-star top 100 guy. He's basically ranked around Jalen Lowe and Bub Carrington. So they've got that strategy down where they get the vets in the portal. They get, some high school guys coming in, but it hasn't panned out with the guys that they've brought in. Clearly, I do think, they're going to have a lot of work to do in the portal this year. And obviously, you never know who you're getting back too. I don't have any inside scoop on this Pitt roster, but if you look around, man, it doesn't seem like the morale is too high in there right now, so you never know who's going to leave.
Thank you, George. We appreciate the time.
Have a good day, George.
Thank you, guys. You too.
Can you believe Bob put us over the hour again? Limits? He doubled up. He doubled down on his questions, and that cost us our
victory. Guess what time you got to him? After a 44-minute first segment, which should have been two segments
in one.
Which
featured you.
Not only that, I'm going to need some of those drinks just to get through today's show,
I think. Keep bringing them. Bob, let's go to the general.
Oh, we have even more guests and we haven't even gotten to the 11
because
o'clock.
Because of
it's
you.
It's 11:01. Yes. What happened to the 50-minute mark?
I don't know. You were busy asking your second straight question to George.
Oh, blame it on me, huh?
Right, Limits?
And Joe didn't tell us about the text line either.
Oh, my God.
Since when have you paid attention to the clock?
And you jump on Bob's bandwagon every day, even though he called you stupid the other day.
I defend you all the time, Joe. I need to defend Bob, too. I need to share the wealth and be an honest, objective person.
The Fan Text Line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm. They always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. It's time for Starkey's Card of the Week. Listen to this show every Wednesday to hear about that from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at noon. At the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. And for this, we go to Jeff Patton. We like to call him General Patton. Bob, do you have a guess on the card of the week? It's Ovechkin for me.
Well, you stole it because that's the one. I mean,
I'm sorry.
You know, that's obviously one. What else? Could we have a card B? What would it be?
Card B, Luka's triple-double last night against the Mavs.
That's a good one.
Nice pick, oh, Limitless Wonder. Jeff, what do you got?
Gentlemen, good morning. Well, usually it's good morning. Maybe today it's good afternoon, but thanks for having me. Happy Wednesday. Happy 15th anniversary. That's all everyone's talking about. I could have given away 100 more tickets here. Everybody's clamoring to go to the event tonight. So in segueing from the 15, we're going to go with number 15, O'Neal Cruz, today. You would have never guessed that.
Never.
Not your fault. But we're going with number 15 as an homage to the 15th anniversary. I got a fantastic O'Neal Cruz autograph card. He only signed two of these cards. And boy, do we need O'Neal Cruz. If we're not going to import some bats, we need some internal improvement. So we're counting on 15.
Awesome. General, we appreciate the time. Will we see you out there tonight?
I wish I could come. I committed to speak at my church about 3 months ago, and I didn't like the prospects of wiggling out of that. So
all right.
I'm sending my son and my daughter-in-law in my place.
Say a prayer for Bob that he can keep within the deadlines of the show.